Good morning. It is Kale and Company live right here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Great to have you with us on this Thursday morning. And as always, we are presented by Northeast Delta Dental with individual and family plans designed to fit your lifestyle. Learn more and find your plan at DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. And we welcome back to our microphones here at WKXL, Alex Posani, who is not only now the public address announcer for the New Hampshire Mountain Kings of the North American Hockey League, but he's also doing some PA work for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats of the Eastern League as well. And Alex, welcome back and happy birthday.
Thank you, Ken. Glad to be here. And, you know, it's onwards and upwards, right?
April 18th, the birthday of Alex Posani.
And Miguel Cabrera.
Miguel Cabrera, too.
I think I'm pretty lucky. I could share, you know, a great
Miggy
future Hall of Famer on the same birthday.
There you go. And also, Jeff Dunham, the ventriloquist.
Went to my high school.
What?
Richardson High School in Richardson, Texas.
Get out.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. He's one of the three famous alumni of Richardson. Jeff Dunham, Anne Rice, the novelist, and the Pearl Jam song Jeremy, unfortunately, happened at my high school. So,
really?
Kind of a dark, that was my senior year English classroom that happened in. So.
Wow. And Conan O'Brien, too. You didn't go to his high school.
No.
Or he didn't go to yours.
No.
Conan O'Brien celebrating today.
Oh, wow.
As only Conan can. But Jeff, I can't believe it.
Yes.
You know, Jeff Dunham, no matter where he performs, he packs them in.
He does, yes.
He really does.
He still does, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's still a young man. He's 62 today.
Hey.
I consider that young. I do anyway. I know you don't. You're a lot younger than that. But him and his pals, Walter especially. Walter reminds me of somebody currently living in Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
I can't quite come up with his name.
No,
but
me either.
Yeah. But he does remind, and he came along before you-know-who came along into his current job. It really and truly is. I often wonder if he was modeled after him. But we're talking about Joe Biden, of course. But we don't want to get political on the show. But Walter and Joe Biden, if you've never seen Jeff Dunham and Walter, check it out online or go to a performance. But I know he's packed SNHU in Manchester many times over the years, and certainly other arenas around the country as well. I've never seen him live. Have you seen him live?
I haven't either. I do know he sells out the American Airlines Center in Dallas every time he's there.
Yeah. Okay, Alex moved from Dallas to join the New Hampshire Mountain Kings.
That's right,
that's a bold move, really, to move that far away from home and a fledgling franchise like the Mountain Kings. But you knew they had a good ownership,
right,
and a good future. And now you've added your other duties as kind of the backup PA announcer for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats of the Eastern League. And you did your first game at Delta Dental Stadium on Sunday, I understand.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. It was, you know, it's one of those things. I've been a baseball fan since I was a kid. I was a baseball fan a long time before I was a hockey fan.
Really?
I grew up. I wouldn't say playing baseball. That's a dishonor to all the great men and women who play baseball.
Yeah,
I was not a very good one.
Pretty much the way I played.
And I wouldn't say I umpire. That's a dishonor to all the great major league umpires out there. I made Angel Hernandez look good when I umpired.
Oh boy, well,
I love the game and I love being around it. And, you know, there was a moment when I was sitting up there in the press box and I realized that, you know, you work like a lot. I'm actually about to start crying here. You work really hard to get to really any spot.
Yeah.
And in baseball, you know, you spend so much time learning the game, loving the game,
yeah,
talking about it, and that, you know, you realize at that moment you're working for a professional team.
Yeah. And absolutely. And it's a lot of fun to do the PA,
yes,
for baseball and for hockey,
oh, yeah,
as you do so well. And I'm glad you're able to get that that other gig. You're a busy guy.
Oh, yeah.
I know for your birthday, you're going to celebrate by going to Fenway today and hopefully celebrate another Red Sox win.
I was hoping.
And then you have other hockey duties after that, right?
You never stop working, right?
You never stop. Always on the go. Alex Pisani celebrating his birthday today. He'll be at the Red Sox game. And last night, just a remarkable game at Fenway. Tanner Houck threw 94 pitches. First complete game for the Red Sox since Nathan Eovaldi in October of 2022.
Wow.
And the first shutout since Michael Wacha had one on June 6th of 2022. So there you go.
It's hard to believe Wacha has been in the league for 11 years now. I mean,
right. I know. I don't know why the Red Sox didn't re-sign him, because he pitched well when he was here. But there's a lot of questions about what the Red Sox have been doing personnel-wise over the last several years. So I wish they held on to Kyle Schwarber, but that didn't happen either.
No.
But at any rate, the Red Sox did win last night 2-0. And I think not only a 94-pitch complete game for Tanner Houck, who was just amazing last night. His slider was terrific. But he had great confidence in his stuff last night. And the game took 1 hour and 49 minutes. I mean, that just never happens these days.
I guess they're not really giving a rebate on the ticket prices for a game that short, right?
I think everybody was thoroughly entertained last night. Red Sox, wasn't really an offensive display by the Red Sox, but they didn't make an error. They've won now, I think, 4 games at home this year.
Wow.
And the games that they have won, they have not committed an error. And so there you go. They played solidly defensively last night. Houck was amazing. They scored one run on a balk in the third inning, another on a Connor Wong home run in the fourth.
And
Connor Wong's been hitting the ball pretty well for the Red Sox. So pretty good catching situation right now for the Sox. And, well, let's see if they can win today. I hope they do for your birthday.
I hope so. But, you know, one thing that surprised me is Cleveland.
They're looking good. Got a good ball club.
They're looking solid. I mean, it's the AL Central. You could pretty much put, you know, an all-star team of, like, and just, you know, 90-win team out of all the good players from the AL Central. It's such a terrible division.
Yeah.
But Cleveland, I mean, they're looking pretty solid early on.
One thing they can do very well is catch the ball. They play very well defensively, and the bullpen is pretty good. So they're missing a few guys right now due to injury, but they are very very good ball club. And of course, that American League Central, as you said, is really wide open.
Yes,
I can't believe we're this late in the season. I say late; it's only April. But the Houston Astros are in last place in the West.
Here's hoping that continues, man.
Yeah, because you're a Texas Rangers fan.
Yeah, no, the Astros, no love lost. You know,
I understand.
I'll just say this: I have a ton of respect for them and their fans and what the organization has done. But that is a great rivalry.
Yeah,
I love going to games down there because the fans are passionate.
Sure.
They'll let you know what they're thinking. Unless they dump a beer on you, they're not going over the line, which unfortunately has happened to me once or twice.
Really?
Yeah. No, it's I love going to games in Houston just because the energy is unreal.
Yeah.
You know, and that is a ballpark, especially in the past 7 years. It is hard to go in there and get a win.
Yeah.
And I think a big reason is just how loud their fans are.
Yeah, yeah. I have never seen a game there. Actually, I took a tour of the ballpark in 2005 in Houston when I was down there with the Manchester Monarchs. They had a game against the Houston Aeros in the American Hockey League. And so I took a tour of the ballpark, and it was very early in the hockey season, and they were painting the emblems for the World Series, the 2005 World Series between the White Sox and Houston.
So my dad was a diehard White Sox fan.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there were only two times I ever saw him cry. And one was the day Johnny Cash died. The other was when the White Sox swept the Astros in the 2005 World Series.
which no one expected.
No one expected that.
And for the White Sox to have the audacity to win a World Series before the Cubs.
Yes. You know? And no one remembered it 10 years later.
You know, that was kind of, I thought, like an under-the-radar kind of World Series.
100%.
Yeah, for most people.
It was a sweep as well.
Yeah,
you know, right. Four-game series, no one's really going to remember.
Right, that's very true. It's kind of like, I think for most of the country, the Red Sox-Colorado series in 2007.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of an under-the-radar kind of World Series win. For the Red Sox, but not in the Boston area. You know, most other places it was, but not in the Boston and New England area. Alex Bossani is with us, and Alex wants to bring up a topic. There was a franchise move announced last week in the National Hockey League, and Alex has a lot to say about that. When we continue, I want to remind you tomorrow we'll be on Facebook Live on the WKXL Facebook page for the Friday Fun Bunch with Kitty Ray and Tom Raffio and Andrew Gibson, our producer. You'll be able to see what we do, especially between breaks. That's the curiosity factor. What do they do between breaks? Just eat donuts? Drink coffee? Pretty much true. We'll take a break. Kale and Company will continue right here, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. We'll be right back. We are back. It is Kale and Company live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We have the NBA playoffs already underway with the play-in games. Celtics still waiting for their opponent. They will open up Sunday at 1 o'clock. It's either going to be Miami or Chicago, depending on what happens tomorrow night. But Miami lost to the Sixers last night. They'll have the seventh seed and play the New York Knicks in the first round of the NBA playoffs. And the Celtics, the number one seed overall, will play Miami or Chicago in that opening round, starting at 1 Sunday at the TD Garden. Stanley Cup playoffs looming. Bruins will play Toronto. Bruins, Alex, kind of, stumbled toward the end of the regular season. You know, and I know they really didn't have a whole lot to play for, but it's not exactly the way you want to see a team go into the playoffs.
No, and Austin Matthews has been so on fire recently. I mean, it's going to be a really fun series, you know, either way it goes. So looking forward to seeing how that goes.
And, of course, the curse of the President's Cup belongs to the New York Rangers this year. They'll play the Washington Capitals in the opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I think that curse is real. Bruins won the President's Trophy last year. I'm glad they didn't win it.
I believe this year, in the past 25 years, only two teams have won the President's Cup and actually won the Stanley Cup the same year. The Stars are one of them, 99. Yeah. So.
That is an amazing number, just two out of 25.
Yes.
The President's Cup belongs to the team with the best record in the regular season in the National Hockey League. Bruins had it last year, and I think if you're a Bruins fan, you know what happened. I don't have to repeat it. But today is Alex Bossani's birthday, heading to Fenway Park.
Yes.
And you have been to Fenway before.
Yes.
And so how do you rank Fenway among the – I know you've been to quite a few baseball stadiums around the country. How do you rank Fenway?
Been to 25 of them. Fenway's close to the tops. You know, there's a lot of things that go into my rankings for parks. And I don't think I have an actual definitive number, but Fenway is just the game experience. You sit there and you just – it's hard not to think about just everything that's happened in that park over the years, you know, and
good and bad.
The amount, just the amount of history. I mean, the players, yeah. You know, the players of legend that have played there.
Sure.
It's really interesting to just kind of sit there and take it all in, you know, and that's one thing I think they do really well. Of the Red Sox is commemorating their history around the park. There are a lot of different exhibits of old logos,
sure,
old trophies, and it's fun just to go in there and just kind of lose yourself in the history. It's a lot of fun.
And the statues outside the right field entrance, Those are terrific as well. Ted Williams and Karl Yastrzemski, and it is a great experience. No doubt about it. I guess I grew up in a time when I first started following the Red Sox years and years ago. Well, long before Alex Pisani was born, I was going to Fenway, and before 1967. The place was just about abandoned. Yeah. I mean, in 1966, the Red Sox had the worst attendance in baseball, and they finished a half game ahead of the last place Yankees in what was then the 10-team American League. And then the next year, 1967, it turned around completely. For opening day, they had a crowd of about 6,000. Against the White Sox in 1967, opening day, 6,000 and change. And by the end of the year, the place was packed for every game because the Red Sox ultimately won the American League pennant in 1967. Right. Went on to the World Series against the Cardinals, lost in seven games. But that 67 year was the year that really turned the entire franchise around because, believe it or not, Alex, there was some talk that the Red Sox could move out of Boston at one time because the attendance was so low. Fenway was in such bad shape at the time. Really, it was was not well kept at that time, let's say, to put it nicely. And the franchise was just floundering until Dick Williams took over as manager in 1967. And along with a sensational season by Karl Yastrzemski and Jim Lomborg, everybody contributed on that team, but those were the two that really stood out. I've never seen anybody, since I've been following baseball, that has had such a dominant season as Karl Yastrzemski did in 1967. It was amazing. Jim Lomborg on the mound, 22 games he won, and then in that winter he had a skiing accident, broke his leg. Was never the same. But nonetheless, 67 was the year. Don't let anybody say that 2004 was the year the franchise turned around, because it had turned around long before that.
So my great-grandfather was living in St. Louis at the time, working for Western Union. And one of his jobs was to go to all the Cardinals games in case the phones went down. He would have to provide a wire account of the game. And so he would get press passes to all the big games in St. Louis. Went to the 64 World Series, the 67 All-Star Game. He was at all the home games for the 67 World Series, and it was, I don't even think you could call it a job for my grandpa. The phones never went down. He got to sit there, and he was the biggest sports fan I've ever known, and he would sit there and just take it all in. He kept all the programs and media guides.
Oh, that's great.
He would tell me stories about those teams as a kid.
Yeah. Those were legendary teams.
In 68, he moved to New Jersey and was working in the New York. He was the branch manager of the New York Western Union branch.
Yeah.
He would go to he went to the 69 Mets, the 77 World Series where Reggie Jackson had three home runs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. He was at the 75 Stanley Cup for Philly won. And
what an incredible job.
Yeah, I know. I wish telegraph wires were still a thing, so I could have that job, right?
Boy, that is something. To be, as you know, Alex, and as I have experienced as well, just being able to work in the sports world is a privilege.
Yes.
It really is. For someone who, like you and I, grew up hoping that we could do that, and we are.
It's the funniest thing. I always wanted it. I never thought, the things I've been able to do working in sports. And really, it's just about anyone can do it. You just have to get your foot in the door, and you have to be willing to do some thankless jobs the first few years, that's a lot of, the start is pretty rough, but if you stick with it and you keep your head up, anyone can make something happen in this business.
There's no doubt. If you work hard enough and, are able to accept some bizarre hours sometimes,
yes,
it's not always, great on family and personal life. But, if you want to make it and if you want to work in the sports field, it's like the entertainment field as well. Yeah. Their hours aren't great either, but if you want to make it, you have to make those sacrifices.
And there are two really big things I would have to say to anyone looking to work in sports. when you go in there, you're thinking you know everything. The hardest thing to do, but also the most beneficial thing to do, is just shut your mouth and listen to people. You learn a lot more listening than you do talking.
Yeah.
And just listen to the people who have been doing it a long time. Listen to what they have to say. Listen to the stories. You can pick something up from each of them. And also another big thing is don't go in taking yourself too seriously. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to get ribbed. People are going to say some pretty nasty and funny things to you, and you can't take it too seriously. You just got to roll with it.
It's not going to be life altering, and it's going to be a great career if you can make it in the sports world. But if you make a mistake, it's not going to kill anybody.
This is one of the dumbest things I've ever done. When I was just starting out with the Brahmas in Fort Worth, I was told by the owner to take these cans of soda and put them in this bucket. And I, for some reason, my brain processed that as open up each individual can of soda and pour it into the bucket. So I'm halfway through all the cans, and he comes in and says, "What are you doing?" And he just sees me. I've got all these empty cans. I'm just pouring it. You just put them in the bucket. And so here's the thing. I know Frank. I've seen, this has been 8 years since that happened. Every time I see him, he still brings that up.
He can't let you forget it.
And I was the most embarrassed I had ever been in my entire life. But you learn to roll with it. Take it in stride.
And that's true about about any business,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You got to roll with the punches, roll with the mistakes, because we all make them.
Life is too short to take yourself too seriously. That's the way I see it.
That is very true. Very true. And here on Kale and Company, we always look on the bright side of life. As I know you do, Alex Bossani. And we'll be back. I promise. We'll talk about the franchise shift in the NHL. We'll do it first thing next break. Keep me to that, Alex.
I will.
Because I know you have a lot to say
about it. I do.
All right. We'll take a break. Kale and Company Live will be on Facebook Live tomorrow on the WKXL Facebook page. You'll see us between the breaks, during the show, behind the scenes. You won't want to miss it. That's tomorrow between 8 and 9 right here, WKXL, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Welcome back. Kale and Company Live, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. President and CEO Tom Raffio of Northeast Delta Dental will be in studio tomorrow eating donuts. Going to bring him in again from Brothers Donuts in Franklin and have a fun time on Facebook Live tomorrow. You won't want to miss it. Tell your friends and neighbors to log on to the WKXL Facebook page. But today, Alex Bossani is with us. Alex has been waiting very patiently because first thing he said to me when he came into the studio today was, I want to bring one thing up today, and that is the move of the Phoenix Coyotes the Arizona Coyotes to Salt Lake City. And I know you have strong feelings about this, Alex.
Yes, I do. And I'll pull back the curtain a little. My dad grew up in Tucson. I still have a lot of family in Arizona. My grandmother, my aunt, a bunch of cousins. I spend a lot of time out there. And, anytime you get me on the road near anywhere where there's hockey played, I'm going to go see games.
Yeah.
And I've seen 5 or 6 games in Phoenix. Well, 5 in Glendale. I went to 1 at Mullet last year. And, the thing that always upset me is when you hear the national discourse about the Coyotes franchise, they put everything on the fans. And those fans, they have not had a lot to cheer for in 28 years.
Very true.
And they have put up with the abuse. They have put up with the, the sword of Damocles hanging over their head of losing their team all these years. And they've put up with just spotty ownership. And this current ownership is the worst bunch of the group. And they've been making all these promises of a new arena and new this, new that. And then out of nowhere, they pull the plug on the team. And, this is really an exercise in just how bad ownership tanks a franchise. Mm. And they've been pretty much set up to fail when they moved from Winnipeg to Phoenix. They were playing at, you know, the Suns Arena in downtown Phoenix. Right. Never built for hockey. They went to Glendale, which I don't know how much time you spent out in Phoenix before, but Glendale is so far. It's a 2-hour drive from downtown Phoenix in rush hour.
Get out, really?
Yes. Wow. Imagine if the Bruins played in Manchester and you didn't have 93. You had to take 3.
Yeah.
I mean, people weren't going to make that drive 41 nights a year. I don't know many people who would make 2 hours each way. Wow. 41 nights a year.
I didn't realize Glendale was that far away from Phoenix.
And especially in rush hour traffic.
Sure.
Their highway situation, they only have really one interstate running east-west, and that's Interstate 10. 17 is north of the city. It doesn't go anywhere near Glendale. And so it was just impossible. That's a metro area of 7 million people.
Mm, yeah.
Having to do, you know, local highways, state highways. Glendale was never going to work. It was so far out there. And Marullo didn't pay his bills, got the team kicked out of there. They had to go to Mullet Arena. And, you know, I went to a game at Mullet last year.
Yeah.
And I will say that was the most fun hockey I've ever seen.
I'll bet. In a small arena like that.
Fans were incredible. The student group from ASU was incredible.
Right, yeah.
The media is sitting, you know, right around the concourse.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a great, and I know it's not sustainable for long term, but people having nothing but negative things to say about it. If you had gone to a game there, I think your opinion would have been changed.
Yeah.
And really, all that team needed was good ownership and an opportunity to win this land auction and build an arena. But Marullo, I mean, he just broken promises and lies. And, you know, they're moving to Salt Lake City. People are losing their jobs. And that's the thing that, you know, people forget is that the players, yeah, you know, they're still under contract.
Yep.
Coaches, hockey operations.
Yeah.
Everyone in ticket sales, broadcasting, media, you know, the promotions department, they're going to have to find new jobs today.
Yeah.
They're going to have to, you know, these are people with families, with mortgages, with car payments, with kids. They're going to have to find out what they're going to do now. And the fans who have supported this team, a week ago, this wasn't even a possibility. A week ago, they were just talking about the land auction. This all happened in the span of a week and a half or so. And these fans who have, like I said, they have not had a lot to root for. This is a franchise that when they moved out of Glendale, they forgot to get Shane Doan's number retirement. The best player of the franchise, they forgot his number banner ended up in the dumpster.
Oh, geez.
This is a franchise that has just been so poorly run. Mm. And it doesn't reflect at all on hockey in Arizona because the Phoenix area is one of the fastest growing youth hockey markets in the country. I mean, the girls Kachina team just won USA Nationals a couple of years ago. And the Coyotes, to their credit, have built a lot of rinks. Austin Matthews grows up playing in Arizona. Matty Neese goes up playing there. And that's not a reflection on the fans or the hockey market as a whole. It's a reflection on an ownership group that just never cared and never was able to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And the fans and the hockey community is paying for it now.
I guess so.
And it guts me because I know people who live and die that franchise and who support them. And like I said, they have not had a lot to root for. And, you know, now they've had their hearts broken for 28 years. This is a pretty, you know, this is a pretty big heartbreak. And they're saying,
sure it is. Yep.
You know, they're paying Marullo $1 billion and the rights to an expansion franchise. Well, the thing is, no one's going to support a team run by this guy. And so this is killing NHL hockey because no one is going to go back to this ownership group that has failed time and time again. And you're going to go back to that well another time and see if it works? It makes no sense. It's short-sighted. It's heartbreaking. And it's the feeling I just feel with this is just anger. I mean, it's a boneheaded move by everyone involved. And you know what? Hockey is going to do great in Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City is one of the fastest growing metro areas in the country. Ryan Smith, he owns Qualtrics, has a massive tech company. He is going to be a great owner. And the Coyotes are just coming on the other side of a rebuild. So the past 3 years, those fans have had to put up with dreadful hockey. And now Salt Lake City gets to benefit from that.
Yeah. I feel for those the fans in the Phoenix metropolitan area losing their team, and it's always tough to lose a franchise. Yeah. And I did not realize how difficult it was to get from Phoenix to Glendale.
Oh, it's nearly impossible in rush hour traffic.
I have not been into Arizona since 1976, when the Celtics were in the NBA Championship Series against the Phoenix Suns, a series won by the Celtics in 76. I saw their only two losses, which were in Phoenix.
Yeah.
But it was fun to be out there. But
it's a wonderful city. It's a wonderful area. It's a place that I've said for years that one day I'm going to move to Phoenix. I love the scene there. I love the vibe. People are so friendly and welcoming. It's hot during the summer, of course, you know. But you go there in the first week of November, it's 78 and sunny. Mm. And they have, of course you have spring training, you have the Arizona Fall League. I mean, if you like sports, Phoenix is a good city to be in.
Except they don't have a hockey team anymore. That's the only thing.
So it's so upsetting. And I think about my feelings towards this.
Yeah.
And the one thing it all boils back down to is just anger. That just things have gotten to this point of being so poorly managed that this is an option now. And, I mean, you have to realize this team has been on the verge of moving for 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Jim Bousley almost moved them to Hamilton. I mean, 10 years. They had moving vans ready in 2011 to move them to Hamilton, Ontario.
Yeah. Which in my mind is the most depressing city in North America.
Haven't had the pleasure of visiting yet.
don't bother.
Yeah.
To me, it was, honestly, I've said this on the air many times. Hamilton, Ontario, to me, I'm sure there are more depressing cities, but of the ones I visited, Hamilton, Ontario tops that list.
So I guess the Bulldogs aren't bringing too much joy there these days, are they?
I don't know, but it was a depressing city. A depressing city. Chase Field is right downtown.
It is, yes. Isn't it?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So, great spot for a game.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, my family, my daughter and her husband and kids, saw a game there earlier this week, believe it or not. They're out primarily to see the Grand Canyon, but their trip took them to Phoenix.
Yeah.
And they saw a game.
Been to a handful of games there. It's a fun place to see.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. I bet it is. All right. Alex Pisani is here. Time's flying, folks. Just one segment to go. Don't forget our Facebook Live telecast tomorrow. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental, and we will be right back. We are back, and we are heading down the home stretch. Down the stretch they come here on Kale & Company Live, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Alex Pisani is here. If you missed it, Alex, the first year of the New Hampshire Mountain Kings, PA announcer, met Alex through the Mountain Kings, and now he's filling in from time to time, maybe up to 30 games, doing the PA for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats and a AA affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. But I have to say, and I've said it on the radio before, they have to improve the PA system at Delta Dental Stadium. You don't have to comment on this, Alice. I will stand alone and say, you sit in some parts of that ballpark, even very good seats, even luxury boxes, there are places you cannot hear the PA system at that stadium. Well, and we want to hear you. We want to hear you or whoever it is that's doing the PA. And the interesting part of it is, for whatever reason, I don't know what that reason is, you can hear the guy on the field,
yes,
who does the between inning stuff, better than you can hear the PA announcer who's announcing the hitters and the lineup changes and all that stuff.
Let's be fair. He brings a lot more fun than I do. So
But I think a PA announcer is important, to those who really want to follow the game and watch it. There are some people there just to drink beer, and that's fine, too.
Yeah.
But as a baseball fan, I like to sit there and keep score. I want to know what the changes are when they're made. you know, pitching changes and everything like that. I want to know that, and I think a lot of fans do, and they have to. They've improved a lot in that ballpark over the years, which is now about 20 years old, Delta Dental Stadium, and they've done a good job with most of it. But not the PA system.
Well, we have a new video board and new ribbon boards and new cameras. So, I mean,
they have made upgrades. There's no doubt about it. I like, the bullpens now are not on the field.
That's
they're
right.
They're enclosed down the baselines, and they've added seating. On deck seating,
yes,
right behind home plate,
right,
where people can enjoy the game and be as close as you possibly can to a professional baseball game, and be served all kinds of delicacies by the Fisher Cats. And I, 90% of the things they do a great job. That 10%, that PA system is not good.
You know, I will say this, with the new ownership group, Diamond Baseball Holdings, they've put a lot of resources into the team.
They have.
I'm really excited to be working for them in their first year with this new ownership group because, a private equity company opens up a lot of resources, lot of, capital to make things happen. And, they've put a lot of resources, a lot of money into the team already. And I'm excited to see where it goes. Yeah.
The lighting has improved over the years. And, they've done a lot of upgrades. Art Solomon, the previous owner, did a great job with the park. But there's always been that one issue for me. I mean, most people probably don't care about it, but I do, because I like to hear the PA announcer, and I like to hear, what's going on, who's coming up to bat, who's pitching changes, any defensive changes there might be. I want to hear it.
Well, running a minor league baseball or minor league sports franchise of any sport, it's such an ordeal, and you're not making a whole lot of money on it, and that's the thing. It's a kind of, it's, two different things. There's a saying in junior hockey I absolutely love. If you want to become a millionaire, running a junior hockey franchise, start out as a billionaire.
Yeah. If you want to be a millionaire, start out as a billionaire. Yeah.
So, and I believe that minor league sports is in a similar vein where it has to be affordable for the fans.
Yeah. Oh,
because
it is.
It's not the best. It's not the best product. It has to be affordable. It has to be fun.
Yeah.
It has to be a viable family entertainment option, and that's.
Yeah. Oh, and it is. I think that it is.
Yeah.
I think the Fisher Cats over the years have done a great job. I love minor league baseball.
Oh, me too.
I love to go to different parks and check out what's happening, not only from personnel standpoint on the field, but what they do between innings.
Oh yeah.
But the one thing, that's it. That's my only complaint, is the fact that the PA system is still not good at Delta Dental Stadium. I want to hear you, Alex. If I go down next Wednesday to hear you, I want to hear you. Where it's probably best is out in left field. I think they've added a speaker out there.
Yes.
Out in left field, it's good. I was sitting in a suite last week for opening night, and I was sitting outside, not inside the suite, outside the suite, and there weren't too many people there, and I couldn't really hear it very well.
Yeah.
And I can only think people sitting elsewhere couldn't probably hear it at all. That's just my gripe. You're upset about the Coyotes moving to Salt Lake City. I would like to see improvement in the sound system, because I'll tell you what, before Chris Brown took over Tri-Town Arena and the New Hampshire Mountain Kings, the PA system at Tri-Town Arena was awful. It was awful. Chris comes in, that's one of the first things he did, was improve the lighting there, improve so many things. And the PA system, you boomed, Alex.
Yes.
I could hear you loud and clear.
So, I'll say this. This is kind of it's a funny thing how things work out. One of my best friends back in Dallas he's from Derry. Grew up playing at Tri-Town.
Uh-huh.
And moved to Dallas when he was 15. Me and him, we've been close friends for years. He always used to tell me that Tri-Town had a reputation as one of the not so nice places to play in the area.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I've heard that.
When I told him that I was going to be moving up here to work there, he was like, of all the places, you picked Tri-Town? And I told him, like, hey, I've been talking to this ownership group and this management group. They've got this idea for what they want to do. And, you know, and that's the thing is, like you were saying, it is a big move for a first-year franchise. And there were times where my family definitely was pretty hesitant, but I believe, and I still do believe in what Chris and Clint are trying to do here.
Yeah.
And they told me what they were looking to do, and they're looking to build the premier hockey. You know, they want the best hockey experience for the fans and the best player development experience for the players. And the more I thought about it last year, around this time of year, is when I was talking to different teams about where to go, I believe in what Chris and Clint are doing. And this first year has definitely sold me on that vision even more.
Yeah, I would say absolutely so. I mean, Chris Brown, Clint Ettinger have done a terrific job.
Yes.
A year ago, we never knew what a New Hampshire Mountain King was.
Right.
You know, and what they have done in a short amount of time is incredible. And boy, whoever came up, and I don't know who it was, that came up with playing the Brass Bonanza after every Mountain King's goal, I applaud that person.
I found out that is a tribute to Ryan Frew.
Okay.
You know, he was a Whalers fan, you know, unfortunately, you know, passed away a few years ago. I never met him. Everything I've heard about him tells me he would have been a wonderful person to know.
Yep, absolutely.
And so, we play Brass Bonanza as a tribute to him and his legacy. And, you know, I mean, I lost my dad at a young age. I know it's got to be just insanely tough for those kids.
Yeah.
And getting an opportunity to honor his legacy with that, you know, it means a lot to me.
Well,
and, you know, it's from what I understand, he's a big reason why the youth hockey is so good up in this
absolutely,
area.
Absolutely. He worked tirelessly. He did.
We can honor his legacy, you know, every game by doing stuff like that. Also, we honor his legacy by treating people with kindness and respect, too. So.
Exactly. And I applaud what the Mountain Kings did in their very first season, their inaugural season. And, you know, talk about great family entertainment at reasonable prices.
Oh, yeah.
That is available. And the season will begin again sometime in September.
That's right.
At Tri-Town Ice Arena in Hooksett. And I tell you what, if you show up, you will be able to hear Alex Posani on the PA. No doubt about it. There's no place in that building that you can't hear Alex when he's announcing a goal or whatever it might be. And and the music he plays is the best in sports, folks.
Oh, I hope so.
It is the best in sports. I'll tell you why. Because he does play Tower of Power once in a while.
Yes.
Once in a while he plays Tower of Power. I was shocked. I never heard Tower of Power at a sporting event until you came along,
hey,
Alex
Posani.
And now Alex Posani is going to mosey on out of here on his birthday, make his way to Fenway Park, and hopefully see the Red Sox beat up on those Cleveland Guardians.
Guardians, right.
That's right. I've said the other word many times since they've changed, but the Cleveland Guardians and the Sox today, you will be there. And Alex, thanks so much for being with us today.
Always.
We love your opinions. You're such a wealth of information. Always love talking sports and ballparks and arenas with you. You're the best. Alex, thanks so much.
Oh, yeah.
And have a great, great birthday celebration.
Thank you, Ken. I'm glad to be here.
And one final reminder, tomorrow, Friday Fun Bunch, WKXL on your Facebook page. We will be live. Tom Raffio, Kitty Ray. You'll get to see Andrew Gibson behind the scenes doing a great job. Kat will be in here in studio. It'll be a lot of fun for all of us and hopefully you as well. Thanks again to Alex. And folks, remember to always look on the bright side of life. Have a great Thursday, everybody. Thank you.